Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. This summer has been one for the history books in terms of USDA crop reports, weather-induced planting delays, commodity market uncertainty, and general craziness across farm country. The historically wet planting season put agricultural markets on a wild roller coaster with peaks and troughs of the tracks marked by official USDA reports and the strong market reactions that followed. On August 12th, USDA's Farm Service Agency released data on reported acreage as of August 1st. On that same day, USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service released its August 2019 crop production report, which included the much-anticipated results of the resurvey of acreage following the June 28th acreage report. Both the NAS and the SFSA reports came in well above industry expectations, sending the agricultural markets into a tailspin. As the dust was settling from these recent events, many questions arose as to why these two USDA agencies were reporting different numbers. NAS had reported 90 million acres of corn planted, while FSA had reported 85.8 million acres. Similarly, NAS reported 76.7 million acres of soybeans to FSA's 74 million acres. To delve into this, it is important to understand what data each agency is reporting and where it comes from. Any producer who participates in USDA farm programs must report their acreage to FSA. This data is categorized by the producer as either planted, failed, or prevented. Typically, the deadline to report is July 15th, but this year, FSA extended that deadline to July 22nd for 12 states that were severely impacted by widespread flooding and excessive moisture. One common pattern that occurs every year is that FSA-reported acreage on August 1st will typically be less than the final reported acreage. The considerable weather challenges farmers face as they were trying to get their crops in the ground proved very problematic for NAS, requiring the agency to make some very difficult calls during an unprecedented situation. The NAS June acreage report estimated planted and harvested acreage based on a farmer survey conducted between May 30th and June 14th. Then, as we all know, historic planting delays resulted in large amounts of acreage still labeled as intended to plant in the June report, prompting NAS to reconduct the survey from July 8th through July 24th in many states. NAS utilized these survey responses in conjunction with satellite imagery data when determining the updated acreage estimates. This all brings us to the main question of the difference between the two agencies. The primary reason for the difference lies in something we already discussed. FSA requires producers to participate in farm programs to report their acreage to the agency. Not all producers in the country participate in USDA farm programs, so not all producers are reporting their acreage to FSA. In contrast, NAS attempts to estimate all planted acreage, regardless of whether or not a producer is participating in USDA farm programs. As a result, NAS reported planted acreage will consistently be larger than the planted and failed acreage reported to FSA. After the August FSA report, FSA will issue several more updates through the rest of the year, and typically these reports bring the FSA data closer to the NAS data. NAS actually frequently utilizes FSA data in developing its own estimates. Keep in mind that FSA breaks out acres that have been planted but failed from planted acres that yield a crop. These combined FSA categories are comparable to the NAS planted acres definition in their corn and soybean acres. In addition, the agencies differ on the reporting of prevented planting and cover crops. FSA collects data on acres that were prevented from being planted, while NAS does not collect this information and does not include prevented plantings in their reported acreage numbers. On the reporting of cover crops, if corn is planted as a cover crop, for example, NAS will include this in the total acreage planted for corn. However, FSA defines any crop planted as a cover crop as just that, a cover crop. in the FSA reported acres. As a result of this classification and the prevented planting classification, the same acres could be counted as prevented planting for one crop and then counted again if there is a cover crop planted on them. Typically, if a producer plants a cover crop on prevented planting acres, they may receive 100% of their prevented planting payment through their crop insurance policy if the crop is cut or grazed after November 1st. However, in part due to concerns of a shortage of forage in much of the country, for 2019, this date was pushed up to September 1st. Additionally, for 2019, producers who were prevented from planting their intended crop will be eligible to receive a $15 per acre payment from the Market Facilitation Program if they plant an approved cover crop. On August 27th, FSA released updated acreage data as of August 22nd. As was mentioned earlier, one can expect each FSA update to add acreage and bring it somewhat closer to the NAS reported number. For both corn and soybeans, roughly 800,000 acres were added to the FSA planted and failed acreage since the August 1st report. Additionally, as of August 22nd, prevented plantings reported to FSA across all crops equaled 19.8 million acres, 11.4 million acres of which was corn, and 4.5 million acres of which were soybeans. Between August 1 and August 22nd, FSA prevented planting acreage increased by over 300,000 acres. Though supportive of several aspects of EPA's proposed volume standards for renewable fuels for 2020, the American Farm Bureau Federation cautioned that the agency's failure to address its overuse of small refinery waivers diminishes the likelihood the volume targets will be met. EPA's excessive use of small refinery waivers will undermine the goals that were set by Congress to create a more robust renewable fuels industry and greater energy independence, AFBF said in recent comments to EPA. The organization said EPA's use of waivers essentially solidifies nearly 4 billion gallons of lost demand. While the latest Chinese tariffs are no surprise, they are no more welcome than before, AFBF President Zippity Vol said in a statement issued Tuesday. The Trump administration must focus on keeping the negotiations with China on course to resolve this trade war. Duvall went on to say that we appreciate efforts by the U.S. Trade Representative and the Agriculture Department to open new markets and expand others. Farmers and ranchers are grateful for mitigation payments, too. For many, those payments are the single most critical factor in their ability to stay in farming for a little while longer. But let's be clear, those payments do not make them whole, especially with additional challenges from Mother Nature. Many farmers and ranchers cannot withstand continued uncertainty in trade. We must restore and expand markets. One of the challenges of a regulated, rigid pricing system is the unintended economic impacts of the free market. This is the case in today's cheese and whey markets. For the better part of the last 20 years, block and barrel cheese prices have followed each other closely with an average difference of 1 cent per pound, and milk pricing formulas essentially weighted them equally. Since 2017, however, things have changed. Increased barrel cheese production and increased demand for whey proteins derived from barrel cheese have resulted in a widening price spread between block and barrel cheese. That spread is equivalent to a nearly $600 million reduction in dairy farm revenue over the past 2.5 years. This divergence in block and barrel prices was likely unforeseen by the architects of the current milk pricing system nearly 2 decades ago. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.